Good Morning Football is a production of the NFL in partnership with iHeartRadio.
Good Morning Football!
Welcome into Good Morning Football, presented by Ram. We are live here in New York City. It's Monday, February 28th. I am Kimmy Checks, joined alongside these awesome guys. We got Peter Schrager, you guys know who he is, Michael Robinson, and James Palmer. It's time for Lead Block.
Lead Block,
there we go. Probably heard a rumor. It's Combine Week. That is probably what you've heard. And you've got to catch every single second of the 2022 NFL Scouting Combine presented by Verizon. We've got around-the-clock coverage on NFL Network starting Thursday, March 3rd. Our live coverage, it begins at 4 p.m. Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, 2 p.m. on Sunday. So if we're talking about the Combine, we might as well go right out to Indianapolis and bring in our very own Tom Pelissero. Tom, good morning. What are we going to hear about the quarterbacks leading up to their workouts, which start on Thursday? What are some of the biggest questions with this group of young QBs?
Well, Kimmy, let's start out with what else? Kenny Pickett's hand size. You might have heard during Senior Bowl week, Pickett was the only quarterback who did not get his hands measured. Pickett told me that week that it's because he has what he refers to as double-jointed thumbs. Basically, his thumbs point toward his palm when they're in a resting position, so they're going to measure bigger when they're around the football than they do lying flat on the table, which is the way that they measure hands. So Pickett's been doing a lot of joint mobility exercises. We may get finally an answer on his hand size coming up this week. Medical's always big at the Combine. Certainly is going to be for Carson Strong, the quarterback from Nevada. He's had a series of knee surgeries going back to high school, had two procedures on that knee last year. It's a condition called osteochondritis, where the cartilage begins to separate from the bone. Now, he told me that he probably shouldn't have even been playing last year, but he feels like his mobility is 100 times better now than it was then. 32 team doctors, 32 different degrees of risk tolerance. They'll all get a look at Strong in that knee this week. Then you got Matt Corral from Ole Miss, the only one of the top quarterbacks who is not at the Senior Bowl. He's had well-documented issues with depression, with alcohol. He has been open discussing those things. This will be the first opportunity for teams to get him in a room, have those conversations. Teams will also get Corral on a scale. He was listed in college at 6'2", 205, and let's just say there's a little bit of skepticism that he's even that big, guys.
Well, Tommy P, is not just workouts in Indy. The competition committee is set to meet this week. Could we see a change in overtime rules?
Well, Mike, we're not going to get a vote on the overtime changes, but certainly there's going to be a lot of discussions in those conversations with the competition committee and the coaches subcommittee. In fact, our Judy Batista reported last night that the Indianapolis Colts have already submitted a proposal that would change the rule for both the regular season and the postseason to give each team at least one possession, regardless of what happens on the first possession. Now, they're going to discuss this for the first time at length on Tuesday, but my understanding has been there's not a lot of appetite to make the change in the regular season. That's in part because since the NFL made the change to go to the modified sudden death, where a team can only end the game with a touchdown on the first possession, it's basically 50-50 in the regular season on whether or not the team that wins the coin flip wins the game. However, in the postseason, the percentage goes way up, which makes sense. You got better quarterbacks, they got a better chance of going down and scoring a touchdown. So the belief seems to be, and again, it's early here, that the most likely scenario is a change for the postseason only that would give both teams one possession, and then if the game remains tied, that you would go into sudden death. Now, those conversations are going to continue here, and it would require 24 of 32 owners to vote yes in order to make any change, guys.
Tom, thank you so much. We will hear from you more on later in the show today and this week with all of our Combine coverage. Now, the Combine, the draft, free agency, the entire offseason, it's about building to this moment when the Rams, they secured that dub over the Bengals, Super Bowl 56 in Los Angeles. But now that the dust has settled on the Super Bowl celebrations and the parade, those run it back chants as well, can the Rams actually do it? Can they indeed run it back? How much of that Super Bowl championship roster will be back on the field for the 2022 season? There are some big-time superstars who are set to hit free agency in just a couple weeks. You see those names on screen right now. Now, guys, it's not been done since the 2003 and 2004 Patriots, but can the Rams do it? Are the Rams positioned to repeat as Super Bowl champions? Peter, the look on your face tells me you may have some question marks.
It was some week for Sean McVay.
Let me take you through Coach McVay's week. A lot of rumors he's going to take a TV job. A lot of rumors that there's TV jobs available. It was all rumors and speculation. And last time we were on the air was the Friday before break, and I said, I know that the networks are calling, but this guy still has more to do, and I don't think he'd leave Stafford. And then Troy Aikman got an $18 million deal at Fox.
Just talk about it.
An $18 million deal, making more than Cooper Kupp, Stephon Diggs, name the wide receiver you want, combined to call a football game next year on ESPN. Amazon did come calling for Sean McVay. I'm told that there was not direct conversation, but there was some speculation that he might actually consider it. But while that was all going on, I was talking to Sean, and he was telling me about the staff that he was building. Mm-hmm. So here's this looming object of a potential big payday to work one day a week and to be in the booth and be home at 36 years old with a Super Bowl ring, and this other issue of, can I leave my guys? Can I convince people to leave their jobs and their families only to desert them afterwards? But then there's Liam Cohen. And who is Liam Cohen and why does that matter? Liam Cohen is one of the hottest offensive coordinators in football. He was Kentucky's OC this year. This guy worked from 2018 to 2020 with the Rams. Takes the Kentucky OC job under Mark Stoops and they light it up. They win 10 games. They average 40 points over the last five games. And he is the pick of the litter. It can do anything he wants as far as being. And McVay called him during all of this Amazon stuff and all of this Fox stuff. And McVay saying, you got to come leave Lexington, where he had it good. Yep. And he was making good money. But McVay was courting him. So through it all, I didn't think he was going to leave and take a TV job. And the last point about this, why I think they are positioned, he's had coaches leave all the time. They always leave. Brandon Staley left. LaFleur left. Zach Taylor left. What they don't do is they don't rebuild. They reload. And I think that as the players leave, they're going to find a way to make up for it like they always do. And as the coaches leave, guys like Liam Cohen and Greg Olsen, those guys will step up and they'll be just fine on the coaching staff. I do think they are poised to return because of what they've built there and what the culture is. One last note, McVay will not be at the combine. Another thing, him just taking the NFL world on his head saying, we've got too much to do. The season ended about 2 weeks ago. I need to work. I can't be at the combine. TB will have to wait. He's a Ram, and I think the Rams are going to be right back where they were. At least they're well positioned to do so if injuries don't strike them.
I'm going to say I don't see it right now. If we are looking at it right now, there's just too many question marks that are out there. Peter breaks down all the changes in the coaching staff. Now, I will say that's happened the last several years, actually, to Sean McVay. He's been brilliant at it. But at the same time, I look at Odell Beckham Jr. is a question mark with his health, and is he coming back? Von Miller is a question mark whether he's coming back. I know that he wants to weigh his options around the league. This might be his last chance for a major payday, and he wants to see what's out there, even though he might want to come back. At the same time, Aaron Donald, we think he may come back, but that's still another question mark. Losing the best player in all of football is kind of a big deal sometimes when that happens to your roster. But to me, it's protecting Matthew Stafford. We saw those names listed on that full screen, the two in the middle that people may not know in terms of Brian Allen and Austin Corbett. Like, you could lose three offensive linemen this offseason.
Corbett had a great
season. And Andrew Whitworth, if he potentially retires, that's the three. And then if he retires, it would be Joe Noteboom who would step into his spot, who played well in the times that he was out there. He's a free agent as well. So you had an undrafted free agent at left tackle sliding in if both those things don't work out. Now, again, I will put this as a positive sense. They have the money to move around. Right now, you look at the cap and they're over the cap. They have the ability to move money like crazy and be able to make some of these things happen. What I am excited about, the positive part of it, as I say all these questions, is I want to see Sean McVay and Matthew Stafford in season two of their offseason. I was with Brady that whole training camp that first year in Tampa, and you watched him every single day just try to figure things out. And he was just kind of swimming, the greatest of all time, kind of swimming out there trying to figure it all out. And he goes and wins the Super Bowl. Stafford does the same thing. But I remember asking Brady heading into that second offseason, and he said, it's completely different, night and day. We go in now to this offseason with a plan. We know what we want to accomplish in OTAs. I know that we need to work on this, this, and this. And when Sean McVay, Mike repeatedly always says, with Matthew Stafford's arm, there is nothing we can't do in the passing game. His mind, second offseason working with Matthew Stafford, I'm excited to see what the two can do leading into this season.
And James, that's what I'm excited about, man. I really think Matthew Stafford, I think he's seen a little bit of success in this offense, success in the playoffs that we haven't seen in his career. And I think he's going to be even more hungry for it. I mean, think about it. He was one of the leaders in interceptions, and they still won the Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. He still had his Matthew Stafford moments. And I think the intriguing part with Sean McVay and the reason why he didn't go to the booth, because a part of me thought he would, man. Yeah, honestly, man, to make $20 million.
A lot of people would.
But I think the intriguing part for Sean McVay is being able to repeat, to see Matthew Stafford in this offense another season, to be able to change his offense a little bit. That's why I think he went back into college to get his OC. Really, I think he's looking at offense and thinking, how can I change this thing up? How can I put something new into the National Football League and still win a Super Bowl and do it? And James, to your point with these free agents, Hollywood's going to sell them, man. I mean, at the end of the day, we were all out there in Los Angeles, man. The sunny weather.
Pretty good.
It's beautiful.
I didn't like the traffic.
Hollywood is gonna sell them on the free agents. So I think Aaron Donald, I think he's coming back. I think at the end of the day, people are going to talk about him. It's not a money play. Guys, it's a money play, in my opinion. I mean, he's the best player in all of football. Play him, pay him like that. And James, I think you said something earlier. His pay or something dramatically drops this year. You need to pay him like the best player in football. And as long as you got that dude in the middle of your defense, you're going to have a chance every single year. And I think Von Miller comes back. I do think Von Miller takes a little bit of a discount to be able to play with an Aaron Donald because, again, Von Miller knows what it's like to be chased. Von Miller knows what it's like to be the hunted, to be the top in the National Football League, and teams are giving you basically a Super Bowl every single week. I want to see how this Los Angeles Rams team responds to this type of adversity, being on top of that mountaintop.
So we know that Matthew Stafford was great this season, right? We were so happy. He wasn't able to get it done with the Lions, but his first season in L.A., he wins the Super Bowl. They have the offensive player in the year, right? Cooper Kupp, he's good. What happens to your other receivers? Odell Beckham Jr., he's out with an ACL injury. He just had surgery just days after the Super Bowl. Robert Woods is going to come back with an ACL injury, right? He got that injury, the day that OBJ walked onto site for the Rams? What's going to happen? You got Van Jefferson. He's there. You have Cooper Kupp, who's so incredible.
Yeah.
Guess what? You can't win games with just Cooper Kupp and Matthew Stafford. Yes, hopefully there's a chance that, you know, all those guys and all those pieces can come back together for the Rams. But what if they don't? So we know that Matthew Stafford was good. He was fine in the Super Bowl, right? Cooper Kupp was the MVP. Cooper Kupp was the reason they won that Super Bowl.
75 yards in the final drive, too.
But what happens if you don't just have to rely on Cooper Kupp? Yeah, you can run it back. You get all those pieces together. Two guys coming back from ACL injuries?
That's a good question.
That final drive, he gets under center. He looks around Stafford. For all the dream team talk, he's got Ben Skoralnik as his number two. He's got Bryson Hopkins as his tight end, who hadn't done anything all season. And they went to Kupp. They found a way that way, but you're right. Over the course of 18 weeks, it can't be Kupp every single time.
The 2021 season is over, but before we fully move on to the offseason and everything that comes with it, let's go ahead and take a look back at some areas where teams performed well last season with a new segment we are calling the 2021 Report Card. So today we're going to go ahead, look at the AFC West. Peter, why don't you start us off? Who got an A report card? What team was it?
I was a political science major in college, but I like to say that I took a few economics classes.
Really?
And I was in Econ 101, and it's all about being economically efficient so that you can do something long-term. I'm looking at the Denver Broncos, and for me, George Payton, their GM, gets an A grade in economics. Mm-hmm. Economics because they nailed the first few picks of the draft last year, and that set them up for this offseason where they can do something at the quarterback spot. If they had taken Justin Fields at number 9 overall, or they'd taken Mac Jones at number 9 overall, maybe they would have been to the playoffs last year. We don't know. Instead, they took Patrick Surtain, and then they went and they took Javonte Williams, and then they went and took Quinn Meinerz. All three of those players were hugely important last year for the Denver Broncos. They are all making second-year player money. I say all that because there is some money to spend this year. There is also an ability to then be a little loose with the draft capital this year. If you are going to go for Aaron Rodgers, last year might not have been the year to do it. This year is the year to do it. And when you load up with young, talented players who are making first contract money, you can then go spend big money on a big prize if he is indeed going to be on the block. So I will give an A. Though they missed the playoffs and they did end up firing their coach and having a whole new staff, the GM gets an A for the roster building and being economically efficient.
I want to talk about the Kansas City Chiefs. They did a lot of great things this season, but a class that they got an A in was definitely probability. And I wasn't great in probability either, guys. I was terrible in that class. But you look at what the Chiefs did. They started the season 3-4. Okay, everybody had them. They're not going to the playoffs. They're going to be terrible. Look at the way defenses are playing against them. They hadn't learned their lesson. And guys, after about week seven, they went on. They won 9 out of 10 games. I mean, they just went on a winning streak. Patrick Mahomes, he figured out how to defeat the defenses that are playing them. You know, just take what the defenses are giving them. That too high shell. Sometimes you got to run the football. Sometimes you just got to take the short pass or take the check down and let guys like Tyreek Hill go ham, guys. But yeah, I would have to say the Kansas City Chiefs got an A in probability, which I was terrible in. I'm glad they got an A. I did.
Let's move this forward, though. One of my degrees from the illustrious school of The Ohio State University was sports and leisure studies. What gets you great ratings in TV? Drama gets you great ratings in television, and that is what the Chargers get an A in. How about must-see TV? Friends, Seinfeld, ER. Now, must-see TV was the Chargers. Yeah. Think about the way all these games happened. I was at a number of them. I'll take you back to this game right here. I'm standing at about the 10-yard line when this play happened, and I'll take you through this drive. It was 24-24 with 48 seconds to go. The ball's on Kansas City's 30. It's 4th and 4. They get a false start. They go back to 4th and 9. Austin Eckler told me after the game, we're in the huddle going, we're going for this? Yeah. From the 35, yeah. We're going from this tied right now? All right. They get a PI call, 2 Mike Williams completions later. That was the second one. And they win it. And he told me after the game, this is our identity, apparently. Coach showed us that we're going to go for it on 4th down. We're going to go and try to win games. They converted 22 of 34 4th downs. Now, get this. It may have ended the way the Seinfeld finale ended.
Saying, man.
Yeah, with a dud at the end. Yeah. But I'm going to say this. They told us what they're going to be. Brandon Staley said, I'm going to grow in my second year, but he said, I'm not going to make a lot of changes from what I did. That's telling us we're going to continue to go for it on 4th down. Now, you say that did bite him.
Yes,
only
it did.
One 4th down that they didn't convert resulted in the opposing team getting a touchdown. They converted more 4th downs than anybody else in football, and the 4th most in terms of percentage, 22 of 34. This is their identity, but their identity is fun to watch,
and that is
going to be where I give them their A.
All right, well, I guess I got to put a bow on this AFC West. That means I got to talk about the Raiders. I'm a Chiefs fan. I'm from Kansas City. I love the AFC West because it's my team. I have the utmost respect for what that Raiders team did this season.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
You know what I'm going to give them an A in? Psychology. Talk about drama. They had nothing but drama all season long.
That's true.
You lose your head coach in October, your number one receiver, you're without him. Darren Waller has an injury-prone year. You got your special teams coordinator steps up as your head coach. What happens? You still win games. A-plus in psychology.
Derek Carr stepped up from a leadership standpoint. I know guys in that locker room, and they were like, dude, if it wasn't for Derek Carr in this locker room this year, we wouldn't have won the games. We wouldn't have gotten to the playoffs. Kudos. I agree with you on that.
Great point.
Totally agree.
Cheers to you, Derek Carr. Coming up, we have so much more quarterback chatter. Which quarterbacks will we have our eyes on at the Combine? And what's the latest with Aaron Rodgers? Same conversation. Stay tuned. Good Morning Football presented by Ram. We're here. We're live in New York City. It's Monday morning, February 28th. I'm Kimmy Checks alongside these legends. We got Peter Schrager, Michael Robinson, and James Palmer. Now, gentlemen, there's always a lot of action in Indianapolis this week, and no doubt the topic of Aaron Rodgers is going to come up with coaches and front office staff. After all, it was the story all last offseason, and here we are yet again. After winning yet another MVP, do we think that the Packers should trade Aaron Rodgers while his value is the highest?
No!
Okay.
Next segment. No, I don't know how you could think that this is a smart play when Aaron Rodgers gives you the best chance to win a Super Bowl. I'm not sure how many teams in the NFC can say that they have a legitimate chance to go out there and compete for the Super Bowl this season. Aaron Rodgers is playing the best football of his career the last 2 seasons. I could see if there was a decline in his play that has happened the last couple seasons. Go, I'm seeing a little writing on the wall right now. Maybe we should try to move on. It's not like he's going in a direction towards, let's try to make sure we make this move before it's too late.
He got 85
he's playing
touchdowns
the best
in the last
football
two seasons,
of his
bro.
85 to 9. I just don't think that's something you go and do, and that is not something that the Packers do. They feel like they compete for championships year in and year out, and moving on for Rodgers would not allow you to compete probably for a Super Bowl this season.
I know this is something for us to talk about, but in my humble opinion, Rodgers ain't going nowhere. I know we're waiting on his decision and all of that. Yeah, he got a decision to make, but he's still under contract. Regardless of whatever decision he wants to make, he's still under contract. And I know they agreed to talk it out last year. They agreed to talk it out this year to decide whether he wants to be there or not. But just think about why guys leave teams. Usually they leave teams because they aren't happy. They don't have the ability to help the team make team decisions. We saw Aaron Rodgers get Randall Cobb on the team. We saw Aaron Rodgers more involved this past year. Maybe if the team isn't competing. They went to two NFC championships in a divisional round, but they were the best team in the NFC the last 3 years. So it's not a competitive standpoint. It's not like he's on a bad team. I think Aaron Rodgers needs to prove not only to himself, but to the rest of the football world that he is that bad of a dude and win a Super Bowl with the Green Bay Packers, the team that drafted him, the team that's literally surrounded him with everything he needs to win the Super Bowl. I'm tired of talking about Aaron Rodgers because at the end of the day, he's on a great team. What else do you want, Aaron Rodgers? Maybe some more money. Maybe that.
Maybe. He's on a great team, and he's in a conference, which you mentioned earlier, does not have many great teams. Nope. The Rams are a great team. They were in 2022. Are the Cowboys a great team? Are the 49ers, who lost 8 coaches and might be starting Trey Lance, a great team? Are the Bucks without Tom Brady a great team? Like, the best situation for Rodgers is to stay put and run this thing back and do it. And I could tell you that Matt LaFleur wants him back. They didn't just bring back Tom Clements at 68 years old to be his quarterback's coach after a year retired from the game as just something that we absolutely need Tom Clements. No, that was a gesture. Hey, Rodgers, we're doing everything we can. Matt LaFleur didn't have to go to the NFL honors to know where Mike Vrabel was winning coach of the year. He was there to support his quarterback and show him, I'm here for you. I'm going to show up. I'm going to fly out to Los Angeles. I'm going to pretend like I'm there because I know I'm going to win coach of the year. But I know that Vrabel's winning and I will still be there for you because I'm your guy. Does the front office look at this and say, we can get 3 first-round picks. Mm. We can see if Jordan Love can play. We don't have to pay this dude $50 million. That's going to be the decision. I don't think it's whether Rodgers is a great quarterback or gives him the best chance to win. It's that this is a long-term deal. This is a long-term franchise. And at some point, there is going to be an era where Aaron Rodgers' game does dip. Do you wait till then to trade him? Do you get rid of him now and get 3 first-round picks and you can spread the love and you could see if Jordan Love's your quarterback of the future?
Honestly, the way that quarterbacks are playing, the way that the rules are, I still think Aaron Rodgers still has great football ahead of him. I think if Aaron Rodgers wins another Super Bowl within the next couple of years, and he's still playing at a high level. He's still playing at an MVP level. I think his trade value will be even higher then.
Do you? Mm.
I do. Mm. It'll still be high, and they'll still be able to get something from Aaron Rodgers. But I don't care if the Green Bay Packers get 3 first-round picks. Do you actually think they're going to be able to get somebody in that building that can provide the level of confidence, the level of street credibility, the level of performance that Aaron Rodgers brings? I don't think so.
The answer is no.
We did report cards earlier, right? And we looked at the AFC West.
Yeah.
You know what team you gave an A to? Yeah. The economics in Denver. They're set up where they can go make a very aggressive run to get Aaron Rodgers. And you know what they can do? John Elway can point to Peyton Manning and say, hey, look, we bought in a veteran quarterback who was incredible. Look what he did for our franchise. Look at the young guys, the young receivers you got. You got Noah Fant, you got Jerry Jeudy. These are guys who we've not even begun to unlock their potential, but they could do that with you. And you know what? Now you'll have your long-term offensive coordinator as your head coach. The Broncos know that they're running out of time. They've had 11 different quarterbacks since Peyton Manning. It's time for them to have a quarterback that's going to win them games in a very competitive AFC West division.
That don't sound good. 11 different quarterbacks since Peyton Manning.
I live there.
I think you've seen all of them.
I live there. I've introduced myself to all 11 face-to-face.
How's Brett Rippey in a room?
Yeah. I can tell you some stories about Brock Osweiler.
So, obviously, the conversation around Aaron Rodgers is going to have to continue. We're going right back to you, Tom Pelissero, live in Indianapolis.
Tom, I know the Cardinals brass is arriving today in Indianapolis, and I'm sure there will be a lot of questions about their quarterback, as Kyler Murray's agent, Eric Burkhart, released a statement just this morning, minutes ago, about the quarterback's future with the Cardinals. It's a lengthy one. We'll get to it in a second. But just as a summary, what more can you tell us about the situation in Arizona right now as Kyler speaks again?
Well, Peter, that statement from Eric Burkhart makes clear several things. Number one, Kyler Murray wants to be the Cardinals quarterback for the long haul. Number two, he wants to win a Super Bowl. Number three, he wants wants a commitment financially from the Cardinals now in terms of a long-term contract extension. Now, this is something that we've been talking about since last week. It's all about the contract at this stage for Murray. He's entering the fourth year of his rookie contract, meaning he is now eligible for an extension. He's seen guys like Josh Allen, Deshaun Watson get paid at this stage. Murray is due about $5.5 million in the fourth year of that rookie contract in 2022. I will tell you, I do not expect Kyler Murray to play for $5.5 million this season. In other words, the ball is now in the Cardinals' court. Do they pay Kyler Murray on a long-term extension now, or do they run the risk of their franchise quarterback not being there when training camp begins in July, guys?
What are our thoughts on the statement that his agent just released?
Yeah, just hearing what Tommy P said. First of all, I agree with Tommy P. He did a great job reporting on that. He doesn't believe that Kyler Murray is going to play for the $5 million. So we're essentially giving the team an ultimatum, so to speak. I mean, we're putting the pressure on the team. And when you look at that statement, and I know anybody can go on Twitter and see the statement, and you'll see exactly what was lined out here. You'll read a little bit of it here.
You have a Cliff Notes for me, Mike?
look how long it is. And it just seems like Kyler Murray and his agent, it seems like they want to be paid now because they know that the longer that they wait, maybe the more evidence will be put out there that maybe Kyler isn't the guy. I mean, he starts the season well every single year, and then it seems like around week 11 or 12, teams figure out not only the offense, but they figure out Kyler Murray. And then all of a sudden, when you talk about franchise quarterback, Kimmy, franchise quarterback. Mm-hmm. I'm under the belief that your franchise quarterback has to make guys around you better. And you got to be the catalyst that makes everything go on the team. I'm not so sure that Kyler Murray is that for this team. I don't like Kyler Murray's body language when things isn't going right. I don't like the fact that when DeAndre Hopkins, yeah. I'm sorry, when DeAndre Hopkins left out of the lineup, it seemed like Kyler Murray was lost, didn't know who to throw the football to, and every single time there was a bad play, it was almost like it was the other player's fault. And now you hear Kyler Murray coming out with all of this trying to defend who he is as a football player. To me, that's red flags, guys. I'm sorry. That's red flags that maybe Kyler Murray doesn't necessarily believe that he's the guy, and he's trying to get paid right now because, again, the longer you wait, the more evidence that'll be out there that he isn't the guy. If I'm the Arizona Cardinals, I don't pay him. I make him play. I call this bluff. I make him pay for this $5.9
million. Risk him holding out?
Oh, then hold out, man. I'll play with Colt
McCoy. They won two games.
I was going to say they won.
We won two games with them, and Colt McCoy is going to put the energy out there that makes everybody else around me better. I'm just saying, Kyler, you don't want to put teams on notice like this. It might not go your way at the end.
I've been going through this, and I listen to what M-Rob says, and it's like, was this necessary? Is this necessary? I don't know what the point of this statement is. It seems like, hey, we would like a long-term contract, and you haven't given us a long-term contract offer. That seems to be it. I don't know why we're doing this publicly between the two sides. Maybe it has something to do with Michael Bidwell's comments that came out recently, the owner of the Arizona Cardinals. And so my thought process is, what does this tell the rest of the other 52 guys on that team? What does this tell you about the guy who's supposed to be the leader of your franchise when this is how this is getting debated and broken down between the organization and your franchise quarterback? I've talked to people in that building. I know that they think his talent is through the roof. But there has to be some sort of thing, Peter, where there is a disconnect between the two sides to where it seems like some aspect of being their franchise quarterback they're potentially unsure of moving forward.
Yeah, I've known all these key parties for a long time. Eric Burkhart has been an agent in this league for a long time. I consider him, as far as the agents go, one of the most, I'd say, friendliest and also media friendly and also just a great dude to be around. And Kyler's his number one client. Mm. This is a huge payday for Eric Burkhart as well if they get this contract done. This statement here, I'm looking at some of these sentences, and one of them says, actions speak much louder than words in this volatile business.
That's in bold.
And yet, There's a lot of words we're seeing right here. And this paragraph says, it is now simply up to the Cardinals to decide if they prioritize their rapidly improving 24-year-old, already two-time Pro Bowl quarterback, who led the organization from 3 wins before his arrival to 11 wins in their first playoff appearance in 5 years. That is as big a swing as an organization I've ever heard from an agent publicly. A lot of that stuff happens in whispers, and they'll tell Ian, like, maybe you should maybe mention the fact that he's 24 years old and he's rapidly. No, this is the agent coming out. Combine week, let's go. And I kind of like it.
Oh.
I kind of like it from the agent side. Like, this is my guy. This is the quarterback. Are you paying him $40 million or are you not? And it puts the Cardinals on. Now, if you want to go one layer deeper, and this is why you watch Good Morning Football, do you know who Cliff Kingsbury's agent is? Do you know who it is? It's Eric Burkhart.
Oh.
You want to talk about all sorts of types of dynamics that go into this. And now we go to the combine. And I was on vacation last week, and I was sitting poolside drinking a Mai Tai. And then someone said, what do you do? I explained what I do. You must be relaxing. I go, Super Bowl's done. It gets crazier in the offseason. And that's why you're watching right now. This Kyler statement to come out on the Monday morning of the combine is planned. It's direct. And it is a salvo at Steve Keim and Michael Bidwill and that organization and say, are you ready to pay or not? Because we're ready to fight. And I can't wait to see how this plays out because I don't know if they're brave enough to do what you said and walk away. I think Kyler Murray might come out of this thing a $40 million man. And a lot of people saying, all right, I guess that's our quarterback for the future.
And I get that. And that may get him $40 million. I haven't been in an NFL locker room. I mean, I'm in NFL locker rooms as a reporter. Yeah. You are too, Peter. Mm-hmm. M-Rob.
What's right.
What is this? Right. This may get him $40 million. What does this get him in the locker room?
Guys having separate conversations behind your back, guys kind of talking and saying, oh, man, why does he have to do that in the public? Why couldn't he just walk upstairs and say it? I mean, I think you get some animosity that starts to build up when a guy who maybe guys in that locker room don't always see him as the straight leader of the locker room, being paid like the leader of the locker room, putting the team, putting pressure on the team in this way. And Peter, to your point, I agree. I think that the agent is working to get the money for his client, but I think they're making such a big splash about it because, again, he knows the longer they wait, the more the proof is being put out there that Kyler may not be the guy deserving.
Do you respect it from the agent's perspective? Instead of whispering to Schefter and saying, can you put out this little nugget? He's like, you know what? Here we are. Boom.
I respect it from the agent's standpoint.
This is his job.
I would have even more respect if Kyler said it. If Kyler walked up there and said it to the team, be a man, big dog. You walk up there and handle your business, and then you can handle it behind closed doors and get paid. You see what I'm saying? But that's what I would respect.
But speaking of being a man, taking it to the team, being the leader, right? You're supposed to be a leader of a locker room when you're a franchise quarterback. That's the whole point of it, right? The statement talked every which way about what the Cardinals need to do. Where was the humility of like, hey, we didn't do well in the playoffs? Completely.
We didn't finish the season.
We didn't
right.
do it. And you know what? Since I want to be here and make a long-term commitment to this team, here are the ways in which I know I need to grow and I need to step up.
Maybe
that was missing.
Maybe that was paragraph 7. didn't make it on the one sheet.
It was cut off.
But that's
I hear what you're saying.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, and we can have respect for it. Like, hey, go get your bread, whatever. Go do what you want to do. You have to have humility in those moments because the best quarterbacks call out themselves when they do something wrong.
Totally. And I think this statement here is, it's not even close to touching that. It's pay him or don't. And we could talk about what happened in the playoffs. I was like, pay him or
don't. It's that black and white with this statement.
It seems that black and white. Pay him or don't. And if not, get him out of town because someone else will. And I'll tell you this. There are a lot of teams. Someone else will pay Kyler Murray that money.
All right. Well, we will continue to read
this
and dissect this paragraph. It's a commercial break. It's time for us to go to break. But when we come back, the one and only Nate Burleson. He will be joining the breakfast table next. And he'll give us his thoughts on the combine, some off-season stories, plus more. Now, it would not be a Monday at GMFB without a little Nate Burleson. So let's welcome back in our favorite triple threat ever, CBS Morning co-host, contributor to the NFL Today, as well as NFL Network, the one and only Mr. Nate Burleson. Nate, good morning.
Hey. What's up, Kimmy Checks and Balances? How you doing?
Hey, I like that. So, Nate, we just reacted to a very lengthy statement from Kyler Murray's agent, his head coach's agent as well, Eric Burkhart, putting some pressure on the Cardinals to give Kyler a long-term deal in Arizona. What do you make of this move by Kyler's camp?
That's exactly what they're doing. They're applying pressure. And I just heard you guys speaking on it, and everybody was spot on. You know, Kyler is in a situation where he doesn't want to go into the season, and a couple of things that could happen. He has a bad season. Now, all of a sudden, the Arizona Cardinals are looking at him saying, you're not worth the money. Or he gets injured. And then the Arizona Cardinals are going to say, you know what, you're banged up. We can't pay you as much as some of these top-tier quarterbacks. So if I'm his representation, you know what, I'll take the criticism. Kyler, you just remain quiet. You can follow the team back on social media, and we will put out a statement that comes from us, not you. You just go out there and play football and continue to play at a high level. There are some questions. Is he a good quarterback? Yes. Is he a great quarterback? Not yet. We've seen some playoff performances where the team is saying, hold on, wait a minute. We can't give you $40 million per. We still haven't seen you do your thing in a playoff game. So I understand where their agents is representation, where they're coming from. But back in the day, this wouldn't happen. And speaking of that, there's a lot of people that say, you know what? I don't understand why these players are following and unfollowing these teams. This is social media. We're in the day and age where it makes headlines when a team looks at a player and they're saying, wait a minute, Kyler doesn't follow us? And to make this make sense for everybody that was maybe raised in the 80s, 90s, early 2000s, you remember when you had your girlfriend or your boyfriend in your folder? And then all of a sudden you like took that picture out and you was walking around like, you know what? Me and Sheila broke up. And everybody's looking like, wait a minute, what happened to your girlfriend in the front of your binder? You don't, nah, we don't talk no more. She is tripping over the weekend. So that's what it's like. For those who don't understand it, that's exactly what it is.
That was my jam, Nate, but it was on a Transformers Trapper Keeper. That's what it was on. I sketched it in there, too. So we're talking Kyler Murray, but there's been a lot of talk about some other quarterbacks make a move this offseason, like Russell Wilson, Deshaun Watson. Which one of these guys do you think will most likely land in a new jersey in the 2022 season? Not New Jersey, but in a new jersey.
Yeah.
I don't know why, and this maybe is – it's something I shouldn't be saying because I'm a former Seahawk. I would like to see Russell Wilson play somewhere else. You know, we've seen them waffle back and forth. There's been trade rumors. His agent came out and gave a potential list of teams. But the reason I say that, not because I want to rip Russell Wilson from Seattle and put them in a position where they're struggling, trying to replace him. I just see what happened with the Los Angeles Rams. Like, they went out there and they made a bold move to go get Matthew Stafford. We were all sitting back saying, well, is Matthew that guy? Is he gonna be the man? A lot of people that didn't know Matthew Stafford's talent, they were questioning whether he was gonna be that dude that can take him to the playoffs and beyond. This right there, that shows you exactly what Russell Wilson can do if he lands with a team that has the right pieces and the right coaching staff. I don't think he's going to go anywhere. I think the Seahawks would be fools if they let Russell Wilson go. But if it does indeed happen, if he lands in the right place, don't be surprised if you see Russell Wilson in a Super Bowl again.
Nate, just for the viewers at home, we were talking about the Kyler thing, and I just got word. Steve Keim, the GM, has to speak tomorrow morning at the Combine. So if you don't think that was properly timed by Kyler and his guys, it's all a game of chess, Nate Burleson. You know it all too well. And one of the biggest stories coming out of Super Bowl was whether Sean McVay would come back or make the move into TV. You've made the move into TV and say it's worked out pretty well. What did you think of the whole McVay... oh, I don't know, turning down offers, if there were offers, to return to the Rams. And what do you make of the Rams this year?
Come on, Shrakes. There were some offers out there. Don't play around, okay? We all heard the rumors. Hey, listen, we don't know if they're true.
I don't know.
I can't confirm, but I will say this. I did hear that it was being floated out there that somebody was offering Sean McVay $20 million. Now, if that is indeed the case, I would have chucked the deuces faster than Tyreek Hill on a catch-and-run touchdown. I mean, shout-out to the Rams, but I'm out, fam. All jokes aside, I like the fact that Sean McVay came out and he said, I'm focused on the Los Angeles Rams. I am committed to this team, this organization, and I would like to defend our Super Bowl championship. So I get it. I get why he chose to come back. One, you know what? You're at the top of the mountain. Defend it. Now there's a huge target on your back. Let's see if you guys can't handle that type of pressure. And two, come on, Strays, you know this. That job is going to be there. Like, Sean McVay is a beautiful mind. Whether he leaves the game right now or 10 years from now, there will be a job for him waiting in a booth or in a studio somewhere.
Nate Burleson, thank you so much, my friend.
Nate's Thank you, guys. Appreciate you having me.
Aaron Rodgers is shaking his head. He's like, darn it. I should have waited to post my IG
Let me check his Instagram.
But I'm sure we will hear more and more and more developments from this Kyler.
You were awesome today.
Yes.
Oh, thanks, guys.
It was a very fitting
Thanks for letting me sit at the breakfast table. This is a good morning, guys.
It was fantastic.
Thanks to you guys.
Thank you.
All right. Bye, guys.
All right. To the combine.